spiritually unclean by entering the temple, and he would have disobeyed God. He was a layman and probably a eunuch, and he couldn't be in the temple. He'd be totally disobeying the law of the Lord, and he probably remembered when King Uzziah had entered the temple to burn incense, and he was stricken with leprosy. So you don't mess with God and his laws, even if you are the governor of Israel, and so he realized that. But more than anything, I think he realized that if he were to run into the temple, he's the leader of the people. He's the one that's been telling them to be brave and to rebuild the wall. And if he goes running into the temple to seek refuge, what's that going to do to the strength of the workers that still have to install the gates? Where's Nehemiah? He's hiding. He's hiding there in the temple. Well, the strength of all the workers would just dry up. And so he realized that he couldn't do that. It was all just lies, that the enemy was being so deceitful that they were even using this prophet who was a false prophet who had been hired to trick him. And he saw right through it. And we have a sneaky enemy, don't we? We have a sneaky enemy. And I say that because we don't face the same political enemy that Nehemiah did. But clearly there was a supernatural enemy behind the attacks that we face today in our lives. And we're a target. I don't know if any of you saw the Truth Project movie. Anybody get a chance to go out and see the Truth Project movie? I had an event that night, a church planting event, so I couldn't make it. But I want to see that because the Truth Project is this amazing Focus on the Family DVD series and sort of a movement of just bringing truth back into the hearts and minds of people and reminding us of what God's Word said. And they actually had a movie event that was just a one-night event last Thursday, and I missed it. But if it comes back on DVD, you have to see it because we need to have the truth in us, don't we? We need the truth of God's Word in us. We're not going to be able to resist the deceitfulness and the temptations of the enemy, the trickery of the enemy, without really knowing the Word of God. Kevin has been teaching his class on the cults, and they've gone through Islam and Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism. I think you guys are on Eastern religions now, aren't you? Just starting that? I was thinking about how in a lot of those movements, especially Islam, JWs, Mormons, there's an element of Scripture that's the foundation of those movements, and so there's commonality with the Scriptures. I mean, sometimes there actually is the Bible, but then there's a twist, and then it heads off in a different direction. But it has this foundation of truth, it looks like, but then as you get a little deeper in, oh, it's not the truth. It's actually a lie. And I think that's where we have to be so careful with the enemy, is that he'll twist the truth. Case for Christ, another movie coming out April 7th. That's a great movie to bring your friends to and where they can hear the truth of God's Word in a story format as it goes through Lee Strobel's life. So we have to take advantage of these kinds of things. I was thinking about how sometimes Satan takes the truth and twists it at the end, and it reminded me of a humorous incident earlier in my life in ministry. I was on the search team, and we were looking for a new worship pastor in the church we were in. And we were getting job descriptions in from all over the place. And we'd get these really good job descriptions for this worship pastor position. And it'd be like, boy, this guy is super qualified. Let's invite this person. And then you get to the last few lines of the resume. And it would say, one of them said, but I have you need to know, I have a morbid fear of spiders. And while I'm leading worship, if I see a spider, I might scream out loud. And we're like, what? What in the world? Like, okay, that one's not on the top of the list. And then we had another one. It said, the Lord saved me out of a background of Mormonism and just this tremendous testimony of how the Lord set me free. I only have one small problem, is that sometimes I wear my Mormon underwear to church and I just can't stop myself. And it's like, what? And you know, what in the world? Well, we later found out it was another one of our staff members that was sending these resumes in. Of course, it was the youth pastor. And not Mark, another youth pastor, but they're all the same. I mean, they're all. And he had been sending these in, and he was thinking it was the funniest thing in the world, and we're spending all this time on these resumes. It's like, this guy's super, like, what in the world? There'd always be some twist at the end where you say, this is crazy. And then we found out he was spending a lot of time and effort on these resumes. It's like, man, be productive, dude. That's not helping us. So Jesus says in Mark chapter 13, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." That little phrase has always struck a little bit of fear in my heart every time I read it, because it's like, even the elect, know the truth, know the word, and you'll be totally protected from any lies of the enemy. So Nehemiah stands firm as the enemy attacks. He resists the enemy's traps, and he stays focused on the rebuilding. Sometimes it's just stay in the course. That's what we do as believers. We might deal with emotional upset in our lives. Things might be topsy-turvy in our personal lives. It might be that we feel like we're under attack, but we resist the enemy's traps, and we stay focused on what God's called us to do, and that's to be people of the Lord. That's to be in worship. That's to raise our families. That's to be consistent, to be reliable people. And I love that about Nehemiah. All of these attacks, all of this persuasion, he resisted it. He stayed focused on the rebuilding. And he rebuked the enemy, and he prayed for strength. I mean, his prayers are powerful, and he always goes right to prayer every time he's under attack. And he prayed literally for his hands to be strong for the work. And there are times when we just have to say, okay, enemy, I am not going to listen to you. And sometimes the enemy comes to us through our own, that little CD that plays in our brain that tells us, oh, you're no good, or you don't belong here, or you're not a strong Christian, or all those lies from the enemy that gets into our brains, because the battle's really in our brains. But he rebuked the enemy, and he prayed for strength. And we have the authority, not in ourselves, but in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our authority. He's the name that we rely on, the blood that saved us. And so we rely on him. We follow him. We don't have to be afraid of any enemies or even temptations or our sin nature when we have Jesus to rely on. And then he refused to believe the deception and lies of the enemy, and he kept his eyes on the Lord. He didn't let it get to him, even though there was an incredible battle. Now let me read the last few verses in chapter 6 here, and take a look at how quickly, once they're refocused, how quickly the wall gets built. It says verse 13, or is that verse 15? Verse 15. "So the wall was completed on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. It had been about 150 years that the walls were down. And look, 52 days. When all of our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence, because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God." It's exactly what Nehemiah wanted. "Also in those days, the nobles of Judah were sending many letters to Tobiah, and replies from Tobiah kept coming to them. For many in Judah were under oath to him, since he was son-in-law to Shechaniah son of Arah, and his son Jehohanan had married the daughter of Meshulam, son of Berechiah. Moreover, they kept reporting to me the good deeds and then telling them what I said, and Tobiah sent letters to intimidate me." Even with the gates up, they didn't stop. Enemy didn't stop. Continuing taunts, intimidation, letters, using everybody they could, but it didn't break Nehemiah. He kept his eyes on the Lord. And you think about that. I mean, what a big, audacious goal that was, to rebuild those walls, right? That was an unbelievable goal. And people could have said, Nehemiah, you're crazy. How in the world are you going to do this with the enemies of Israel around it? And yet he never wavered, and he rebuilt those walls, and they did it in 52 days. So our defense against the enemy's attacks, what do we learn from Nehemiah today? Well, there's some things that we've already talked about. We put on our spiritual armor, which to me means our identity in Christ. It's who we are in Christ. It's what he's already done for us and in us that we rely on. We don't rely on what we're going to do today or tomorrow. It's what he's already done for us. So there's confidence in relying on the Lord. There's Ephesians 6:13 talking about the armor of God. And we all have that armor every day. We use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so in the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. And so, again, we have the word, and the word is strong and powerful. We looked at this in chapter 4, so I'm going quickly through it. We remain in fellowship because we're stronger together. Right? We're stronger together, so we remain in fellowship. So those are put on the spiritual armor, use the sword of the Spirit, and remain in fellowship. And so those are things we looked at before, and I'm adding to the list now. I'm adding to the list, and that is be alert and in prayer. Be alert and in prayer. We've seen this from a Nehemiah all the way through, that he was alert and he was in prayer. I was reading in the Men of Integrity devotional that I get every day, which Kevin introduced me to. Love that Men of Integrity devotional. Guys, if you could only do one devotional, this is it. I mean, it's just pretty cool. Pretty cool. And then ladies, you could get into it too. I mean, you have all the archives right there too. And one of the stories that hit me as I was looking through it is, it was a book called Faith in the Fog of War by a former West Point Army officer that was stationed in Iraq. And he says this about being alert and being in prayer. He said, I spotted 40 craters along a 15-kilometer stretch of road in Kaldahar, the Iraqi city I patrol. The insurgents don't have to be all that creative with IEDs, that's improvised explosive devices. They wait for a diversion to mask their movements or for nightfall. Then they drop the IEDs into pre-existing craters. So we fill the craters with pavement, an extremely quick-drying, high-strength concrete. This forces the enemy to either dig new holes or surface lay the bombs, which are a lot easier to find. And he says, your hearts contain a number of craters, like the insurgents. Satan waits until you have other things to handle. Then he places his IED in a crater he's used before. Fear, worry, lust, stress, pride, jealousy, envy, resentment, anger, ambition, selfishness, boredom, all those kinds of things. He goes on to say, Peter says alertness is key to avoiding the devil's ambushes, and we stand firm in the faith by plugging with God's word the holes planted with the lies. The Bible says you aren't alone. Everyone struggles with this stuff. If Satan can make you think no one understands you, he can convince you that God doesn't either. That's his technique. So he asked the question, what open craters in your life invite Satan to replant his explosives? And then he quotes Erwin Lutzer, pastor from Illinois. Temptation is not a sin, it's a call to battle. Don't you love that? Temptation's not a sin. It's a call to battle. So when we are tempted, either internally with that tempting voice that hits us of whatever it might be, shame or guilt or fear, or some kind of thing from the outside, and we feel under attack or we feel tempted or we feel like we're in a difficult time, we say, oh, okay, that's a reminder that I'm not in sin, but it's a call to battle. I have to be alert. I have to be in prayer because this is what the Lord has given me. He's given me this powerful prayer. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Scary dude. Jesus is bigger and stronger, though. So we need to rely on Jesus in our time of need as well. If you were in a crisis, you would want someone to come and help you who had been through a similar crisis, wouldn't you? And you look at these scriptures about Jesus. He was tempted in every way, but he didn't sin. He's the high priest. He can sympathize with our weaknesses. He was tempted in all things, yet was without sin. So we can draw near to Christ, knowing he knows everything we go through. I was just thinking that if you're in a crisis, you don't want a rookie to help you. You want someone who's a veteran, someone who has been there before, someone that can give sage advice, practical help in your time of need. For example, if you want advice on finding a successful college, you're probably not going to ask an eighth grader for help. They might have some interesting ideas, but they're probably not going to help you prepare to pick out the best college. Or if you need advice raising your teens, well, you're probably not going to ask for the advice of somebody who has young kids because they haven't been there yet. But you ask somebody who already has gone through the teenage years, and they can give you some really great advice about what they did. I was thinking that if you're stuck on the side of a cliff and you need desperate help and there's a bus of tourists that go by, you're probably out of luck. But if there's a rescue team that comes, then they're going to be a help you off the cliff. Jesus is a rescue team. He's the one that's been there before. He's the one that's seen it all, done it all. And there he is, right there, helping us every step of the way. I love that about the Lord. And then we surrender to God and resist the temptations, the lies, the accusations, the deception, and attacks of the enemy. Nehemiah did that so well. It's not often that we can point to an Old Testament character and say, that's how I should behave. Usually you look at an Old Testament character and you say, okay, that's how I shouldn't behave. But in this case, you can say that man lived it in the most extreme pressure, and I can live that way too. Let's pray together. Dear Lord God, we submit to you, we resist the devil, and we know he'll flee from us. Lord, we each of us face our own challenges, our own difficulties. We have our own walls to rebuild in our families, among our friends, as we spread the gospel, as we live our lives. We know it's not an easy work, but we trust you to protect us and watch over us, and we rely on you today. Lord, and we just say to the enemy, you have no right being in our minds and our hearts and our families and our lives. And we say in the name of Jesus, for you need to leave. And we thank you, dear Jesus, that you are there rescuing us every step of the way. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
I'll stand.